This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSFAM.com, AVSFAM.com.
It's trade deadline. I think that everyone secretly loves and hates trade deadline. I know that I'm in both camps on that one. One, I hate to see anyone go because I get attached to these guys. But two, we do have to make changes. We have to bring in new blood and we have to make our team better. As the last place team in the league right now, I think that we might need to lean towards the make things better as much as it sucks to see people go. So when you see that the Avalanche haven't done a damn thing and a lot of teams are filling their needs with what they can get instead of the terms that Sakic is asking for, it really makes you wonder what we're going to do by the end of trade deadline, if anything at all. Now, as I record this, I'm peeking over at Twitter all the damn time to see if anything at all has happened. Currently, nothing has happened. I know, you're surprised, right? And because of that, my attention could be, well, let's say limited. So anytime that you hear this sound, that means we've moved on. We're going to check out some other stuff, or I've just completely forgotten what I'm talking about because I'm so focused on seeing if there's any trades on Twitter right now. And there's still no trades, just checking. So a lot of people would like to see somebody like Iggy go, and I think this is actually a good thing. This is that people want to see him move on and get another chance at the cup. He's not going to get it with us, that's for damn sure. He's not going to get another contract with us. So he might as well get moved somewhere where he can actually have a shot to win, even if he's playing the fourth line, even if he's a scratch, just be on the team that won the Stanley Cup before his career's over. I want that for him. I think everybody else wants that for him, and I'd really like to see that happen. There's no way it's going to happen without the Avs retaining some of the salary, which I think Sakic will do. I don't see why he wouldn't go and do that right now. But one of the things I wonder about is, with all this respect for Iggy, all of this, hey, let's get one for Iggy, let's retain salary, let's make a trade that's probably not even good for the Avs, where's that same respect for Duchesne? I mean, has Sakic just fallen off the Duchesne wagon? Does he just not give a crap about Duchesne anymore? I get it. Duchesne is an emotional dude. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He'll have a little fit in the corner if he doesn't score a goal, but I love that about him. He is the heartbeat of the Colorado Avalanche, and we're looking to trade our heartbeat. Do you know what happens without a heart? You die. Unless, of course, you can come up with another heartbeat, which we kind of have in Gabriel Landeskog, but let's be honest, he's just now coming into his actual role as a leader. His hockey's been pretty good, and it's getting a lot more stable these days, but when it comes to being a leader, I'm not sure that he's always been doing it right. To be cocky is one thing, to be arrogant is to be another thing, but to be somebody who is humble in the face of everything and go out there and lead with your play instead of just your words, that's something different altogether. I do, however, think that EJ coming back is really going to help Gabe in that respect. I think that EJ is actually probably more of a leader than Gabe is. He just doesn't wear the C, and he doesn't give a shit either. But to bring it back to Duchesne, let me just say this. I don't think that he is nearly as ready to jump town as everybody seems to think he is. I think some of the reports are bloated, overrated, and clickbait. I think that people should probably not listen so much to Twitter. Hold on, let me check. Still no trades. Anyways, I think that people should not listen so much to Twitter because Twitter has a way of getting people riled up, and then they use their inside voice, which is not their logical voice, and they say things they wouldn't otherwise say, and we all get pissed off at each other. I don't know about you, but I have muted a lot of people. You might be one of them if you've been douchey. And speaking of douchey, every damn year I fall for one fake account. I'm usually on the lookout, but every now and then I have a life and things to do. I work, I make money, I do stuff like that, and I'm watching Twitter, and I see something that looks pretty legit on the surface, but I don't check to see how many followers they have. Then the next thing you know, I've tweeted out something that isn't true at all, and I'm contributing to fake news, which is a really messed up buzzword right now for all the political things going on, but at the end of the day, I just wonder, what are these people getting out of it? Did their dads not love them? Did their dad not throw hockey pucks at them? Or baseballs, whatever the case might have been? I don't get it, and I hope that that person, whoever is holding that account, gets better. Get well soon, bro. But actually, if we're being honest, it was kind of funny, but I still don't like it, so not funny. Totally funny. So, in other interesting news, if you are a fan of the Colorado Avalanche, then you're pretty clear on who the reporters are in this world. What's really interesting to me is the way that the reporting game is changing right now. It is going through a disruption, just like the print industry did, just like the music industry did, and just like everything else eventually will. There is true disruption right now. There's a lot of people getting laid off from major outlets, and there's a lot of people being picked up by other people. It's kind of like trade deadline, actually. Actually, wait, hold on. There might be a real trade. Nope, no real trade. God damn it, are we ever gonna trade anybody? What is with this parallel universe? This sucks. Anyways, Adrian Dater joins BSN, and I think that's a really cool thing. I think that BSN could use somebody like an Adrian Dater. They are edgy, they are a lot of things that he's not, but he is a lot of things that they are not too, and I think this dichotomy, I think this bringing two people together is actually going to create an even better symmetry. It's going to create a chemistry that people can really vibe on if they let it happen. Either way, I know not everybody geeks out on this like I do, but I do geek out on this, and I think it's going to be awesome. So congrats to Adrian Dater and congrats to BSN. So like every Avs fan out there, we've been pondering the current state of the Avalanche Hockey Nation and trying to put our fingers on why it isn't working this year. It's frustrating to see the players on the roster who had success in past years with the Avs or with other teams fail so epically. It would be easy to point fingers at individual players, the coaches, or the management, all of whom are part of the problem, by the way. But if you keep boiling it down and try to find the essence of what makes us a bad team right now, or what could make us a good team and what do good hockey teams do, and then boil it down even more to simple bullet points of what a good hockey team does to win regardless of the team, the players, the coaches, the management, any of that. Some simple truths. What a good hockey team does. Here's our list. What good hockey teams do. Good hockey teams show up ready to play hockey. They don't ease into the game. They don't take a little time to get going. They attack the game from the puck drop to the final buzzer. Good hockey teams beat bad hockey teams. They don't play down to the ability of the other team. They maintain their game, they get out early, and they finish with a kill shot. Good hockey teams keep the game close at home and especially on the road, even when they're not playing that well, because a good team can steal a game in three good shifts. Good hockey teams have great goalies. Good hockey teams don't take bad penalties. Good hockey teams play for the greater good of the team and not for individual accolades. Good hockey teams stick up for each other. Good hockey teams obey the 24-hour rule. Look back in the notes if you don't know what that one is. And above all else, good hockey teams win, regardless of any other stuff happening, any other bullshit, anything at all. Good hockey teams win, at least more often than they lose. That's what good hockey teams do. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, A-V-S-F-A-M, really awesome hockey shirts for really awesome hockey people. You should probably go check them out, and while you're there, get free stuff too. There's a lot of cool things that you can just download to dress up your computer or your phone or your watch or whatever tech gear you have. Check it out at AvsFam, A-V-S-F-A-M.com. If you like this podcast, which we really hope that you do, you should go subscribe at iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey. You'll find us there. Click the subscribe button, and we'll be in your pocket whenever you need us.
Yeah.
Stay awesome, Avs fam. We love you.
Avs fam. Well, I guess you had enough of all this hockey coaching stuff, and now you're off to that old golf course in the sky. But whatever, Patty, see ya. We got a new coach to coach and lead us. Tell me why you had to be so petty, why? Why you had to be so petty, why? Why? Why you had to be so petty, why? Why? Why you had to be so petty, why? Why you had to be so petty, why? Now the core is getting older, but the chip up on your shoulder and the decisions that Joe didn't let you make. The man's got you tripping mad, and we all know that petty don't play that. Tell me why you had to be so petty, why? Ah, peace out, petty, why? No hard feelings. Hashtag next era.
Still no trend.